Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com, here with a name you know. If you don't, you're going to know him very soon. Retro AG, Anthony Green. He's been all over the place. I got a feeling you might see him all over the place even more, but you might have seen him in House of Hardcore, maybe in Evolve, maybe even Ring of Honor, which we're going to hopefully talk about each of those. How you doing?
I'm doing as well as someone can with the end of quarantine. Thank goodness it's all seeming to clear up. As long as, you know, people are continuing to remain safe, wear masks, social distance, all that jazz, I can't be much better, I guess. I'm right here in beautiful Danger Town, USA, Randolph, Massachusetts.
So what did all this, and I mean COVID, coronavirus, quarantine, mean for a guy like you? You're a pro wrestler in your mid-20s who was heavily booked throughout 2019. And I mean heavily booked. I think you had maybe over 100 matches last year. And I mean, that's traveling all over the place. Like, you're not just sticking to one area. You're going to a little bit of everywhere. Obviously, the East a little more so than anything.
Yeah.
But that has had to drastically impact you in 2020.
So you're correct. I wrestled well over 100 matches last year, and a lot of that was because I was wrestling on weekdays weekly for Beyond Wrestling, and then on top of that, I had the 2-3 shows a month for Evolve, and then I was doing shows like CZW. I was getting booked for random outside companies I never really worked for before here and there. So I was guessing my schedule was only gonna get as heavy or be even more heavy going into 2020. And that's how it was looking. Even my January, I feel like January is usually a pretty slow month for most independent wrestlers, and mine was rather busy. February was real busy. And then going all the way up until my WrestleMania weekend, where I was like specifically wrestling for the WWN Evolve brand, but I was going to be wrestling between like 5 and 7 times that weekend alone. It was a major surprise to me when everything kind of just got cut short. I myself have promoted some local shows in the New England area, and 2 of them got canceled in like a matter of 3 weeks. And actually, I believe my first show that I canceled, which was supposed to be in March, was the first show announced to be canceled due to COVID. So at that point, I was just annoyed that the building canceled it, because I assumed they just decided last minute they didn't want pro wrestling. They were kind of overthinking everything. But in reality, once that one hit, I just saw event after event after event being canceled. And I'm sure it was a surprise to you, as it was to everybody else, that WrestleMania got canceled. In the sense that it'd be in front of a live crowd, which kind of ruined WrestleMania weekend for fans, wrestlers, and promotions. I feel like that hurt the business for a lot of people. I know High Spots. I've been buying DVDs from them since I was 14 years old. Same. Or 13 years old. And to see them struggling and knowing like they got totally ruined and screwed over because of WrestleCon, that there were going to be a lot of companies and promotions and wrestlers that weren't going to come out of this the same. I decided maybe after the month of April. Well, the month of April, I will openly admit, I wasn't working out. I was eating pizza once a week. at least. I was eating pints of ice cream. My girlfriend is an enabler taker here. She's an enabler. She'd buy me my favorite pints of ice cream, which is a Maricone Dream for any fans that ever see me.
Ooh, what kind is that? What is that?
It's a Ben & Jerry's, and it has like the chocolate cone, like the actual like cone in it. It's just... it's the best. It's the best ice cream you can have. It's Damn. It's very similar to, it's like the same kind of ice cream as Tonight's Dough, like the weird the weird names and stuff, which Tonight's Dough is also incredible. It was actually May 6th, which is my Wrestleversary. It was my 8-year Wrestleversary.
Nice.
I was like looking at old videos of myself and from like the past year, and I wasn't totally happy with how I looked. And I looked even worse because I was eating so poorly the entire month of April and I wasn't working out. So I decided, like, whatever the next step is going to be, I want to be one of the people that come out of this better instead of coming out of this worse. And I look better than I did before COVID. So that's all I can really do.
I can relate. I was actually booked for my first match in a while for WrestleMania week, and I got in really good shape for it. And then the moment that show was canceled, I went to Eric Stevens' cookie website, and I was like, you know what? I'm ordering this, and it's been downhill ever since. But you had a busy WrestleMania week last year, too, because I remember we would cover something from every single show, and I would look, okay, who's got the most bookings, who's got all that? You had a very... very wide array of opponents. Like, I remember, one, you were part of that Black Craft show, which is something of its own. A battle
ever. I am the last ever Black Craft wrestling match in history.
Yeah, and based on how that went, who knows? Because I mean, I remember there were all these names in that battle royal, and it went like a few minutes. Because like, Just Incredible was in there, and Zicky was in there, and I wasn't that familiar with Zicky then, but that's how I became familiar with him. And like, there were a lot of people. And then I remember that same, I think it was the same day you were in a match with, I think you won a match on WWN Live that had Shotzi, who's now in WWE, Harlem Bravado, who people have probably seen in Ring of Honor, John Silver, who I think is in AEW now, Colby Carino, all over the place. Then I remember you wrestled, I think it was maybe Chaotic, was it?
So, yes. So I was originally scheduled. So before I knew about doing WWN or the last minute booking for Blackcraft and stuff, the only show I had booked was in Rahway at the Rec Center, and it was CZW versus WrestlePro.
Yes.
And then Chaotic is my home promotion. And they said, you know what, like, we want to expand. We don't want to just be a New England company. So they tried their luck. And lucky for me, Saturday, I did not have to leave the Rahway Rec Center other than to grab either food or gas for the car. And so, I was originally scheduled to wrestle Tommy Dreamer for that show, for Chaotic. Someone did not make it in time to do the main event against Christian Casanova. So they wanted like a solid replacement for whomever. I don't remember who it was supposed to be, but they were like, oh, let's put Dreamer in there with him.
Yeah.
I was only a little upset, and not even because I was like, I really want to work Dreamer. I ended up getting to wrestle him like 3 months later. But I cut this promo, and it's like such a non-clever line, but I loved it so much, where I was like, Tommy, you need to remember one thing. There's no E in front of this CW Chaotic Wrestling. And it was so cheesy, but like, it made me smile internally. And I was like, some fan will get this and they'll appreciate it too. But I ended up wrestling. We were like the first serious intergender match in Chaotic. They weren't really down with the intergender style. And I jokingly said, well, Davian's here, because I think she was like getting gear. She was picking up new gear, or she was getting like, measured for new gear. So she was at the show. I said, oh, just put me in the ring with Davey. Like, we can have like a fun match. And everyone laughed it off. And then 5 minutes later, they're like, does Davey have her gear? She should get it on. You guys are on in 20. I'm like,
that's
awesome. All right. And that's... And then lastly, I wrestled Fala Ba.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. That was at that CZW versus WrestlePro show. I love that idea. That was a fantastic idea. And even beyond that, I remember that week I was watching Beyond, and I don't know if it happened that week or if it just aired that week. But a few days after that, technically the same week, you're wrestling Gangrel on that show, which is so that so
that
awesome.
That was the actual Wednesday.
That's awesome.
I've openly said it on social media, but I don't know how much I really talk about it. But in my opinion, Gangrel is next in line for like that PCO run.
Yes.
He is so good. He works harder than everybody else. He will blow you up in the ring. Gangrel is just, he's the man. Like, to this day, still the man. I don't think he gives himself enough credit about how, like, really good he is.
Every time he comes up, I always like to mention that it killed a little bit of my childhood when I set up to interview him, and he's, like, sending me smiley emojis and stuff. I was like, man, Gangrel the Vampire. But he's a great dude. He's such a good dude. And
seriously,
I think a lot of people don't realize, like, he didn't just pop up in 98. He was wrestling Big Boss Man on WWF TV in like 89, and he was doing a lot of enhancement stuff for WWF in like 95. He's been all the way around. I love that comparison. But you wrestled, I mean, like you said, the Battle Royal, I think it was like a 6 or 7 way. You wrestled an intergender match at Chaotic Wrestling, which one of our followers, Throwback, has been putting over Chaotic Wrestling for a long time, and they produce a lot of talent. Then Falaba, then Gangrel that week. That's a lot of different things to go in there with, because you got like 50-year-old guy, 500-pound guy, you're wrestling a woman, 7-way, Battle Royal. You did everything except for just like a straight-up match with somebody your size, comparable skill set there.
Yeah, and like, to even add on to that, I feel like April last year was like a month that I couldn't like come back from, like in a good way. Like, I didn't think there was going to be another month better than April for me, because I signed with Evolve Wrestling. I had like a killer WrestleMania weekend, in my opinion. That was my first ever WrestleMania weekend, so I was very happy with it.
Yeah.
I got to wrestle Gangrel at Beyond. And then that next weekend, like the 10th or whatever, that next weekend, I was in Best of the Best for CZW. And I was the holder of the CZW world title for like an hour and a half. But it's on the record books forever.
It counts.
Any grade, so.
If you ever want to get one of those replica belts and hang it on your wall, that is that you are owed that, because you have been that champion. Like that's the qualifier.
Can I pause this for 15 seconds?
Yes.
All right. I'll be right back.
Of course. And here's the thing. I'm just going to let it roll. I'm not even going to edit this out. This is natural. This is normal. This is what we come to see. We want to see the raw feelings and emotions and happenings with a guy like Anthony Green.
I'm back.
And he's back. Let's see. Goddamn right! You're damn right! I would have done the same thing.
I love it. And if it wasn't... It's strictly because it's a world title. It was my first ever recognized world title I won, regardless if it was for an hour and a half or a year and a half. I just think, like, memories in pro wrestling are very important. As you can see, I have my Chikara Young Lions Cup trunks and shirt and photo. Yeah. You can't see it over here, but I have, like, my Super 8 medal and stuff. I just think people will be very quick to sell off, like, their memories. And I'm just very big on remembering, like, all the cool stuff, regardless of how long it was or what I did. I think celebrating your career or whatever you want to call it, celebrate your hobby, I think it's very important. So, yeah, one more time. So you nailed it right on the head.
Amazing. I mean, that's something you accomplished. And, you know, you'll have naysayers who are like, it's not real. I don't care. You accomplished that. That's a recognition of your abilities and a confidence that a company had in you. Again, whether or not it was an hour or a year, they were confident in you in that spot. And I think that's awesome. I think more people should embrace that. I love that. Speaking of being confident in a spot, I had mentioned like much earlier in your career, you did some ROH spots. How did those come to be?
So, all right, where do we start? So I did my first Ring of Honor like tryout camp. In August 2013. I was like just a little over a year into wrestling, and I like showed up, like just started working out, so I didn't look great. I just got custom trunks, but like they didn't fit me well, so it was like they were looking at me like, ah, this kid's a schlub. He's a 20-year-old schlub. And I showed up and I showed out. Like I had a really good match with Sam Shields at the tryout. That got me recognized at that point. Like, oh, okay, this kid's like pretty good in the ring. I did another tryout a few months later in December where I looked better, had nicer fitting gear. And again, it was just like, oh yeah, good job. Keep up the work. And then it was either late December or early January 2014, 2015, that I randomly hit up Delirious and let him know I was going to be at the January tapings in Philly because I was booked for extra work for WWE the next day for the Royal Rumble. So I let him know I'd be there, and he just responded back, like, awesome, thanks for letting me know. All right, cool. I showed up, and you have to assume at Ring of Honor shows, there are dozens of guys doing ring crew and helping out because they want that dark match. They want that enhancement match. They just want to get used. There's 20 wrestlers there, and then there's me, who's been wrestling just under 3 years, and they chose me. And it ends up being me and QT Marshall versus Brutal Burgers, Bob Evans and Cheeseburger. We were supposed to be that was set to be the first Future of Honor match. It never aired, but it did happen at the ECW Arena. So that's pretty sweet.
Yes.
And then the next month I did like another like Adam Cole seminar. It was like $50. We drove there in like a snowstorm. There's maybe like 12 people there. So like we all had more like intimate time with the trainers. And then I showed up to the March 7th or 8th TV in Baltimore. And I used to team with Cam Zagami. We had matching gear and everything. And we were asked by Dalton Castle if we would be the boys. And
oh, cool.
I think the moment they asked, Kevin Kelly was around. He said, they can't be the boys tonight because they have a match. Oh. I'm like, oh, excited.
And I know who it's against, too.
Do you? Oh, yeah. So
I couldn't be more opposite. Couldn't be more opposite of Brutal Bob and Cheeseburger.
So we ended up wrestling War Machine, Hanson and Rowe, which actually was their first match as a tag team back since Rowe's accident.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. We got to be their first match back. Also, Kevin Kelly had no idea that me and Cam Zagami were a tag team. He just happened to choose us. And then we came out in matching gears. Like, if I knew you guys were a tag team, I would have put you guys over on commentary more. But that was like a fun little 3-minute thing. I actually have like the highlights on my phone at all times just because it's like such a funny thing.
Yeah.
So I did those. And then I did like another tryout in 2015. And then I did nothing with Ring of Honor really at all. And then it was October 2018, I started doing like the Retro AG character, and Cheeseburger gave me a phone call out of nowhere. And he said, I think I got you a dark match in Maine for the Global Wars. And I was like, what? All right, cool. And they confirmed it with me. I wrestled, it was November 2018 in Lewiston, Maine. I wrestled Ryan Nova. That match is available on Future of Honor. On their page and stuff. And then the next day I was in a 6-man tag in Lowell at the Lowell Memorial Auditorium, which is well known as the building that Shawn Michaels lost his smile. And I did a 6-man tag there. It was myself, Brad Hollister, and Brian Johnson versus the Shinobi Shadow Squad, which is Cheeseburger, Ryan Nova, and Eli Isom. And then that was really it for me doing regular Ring of Honor stuff. I do have a feather in my cap because I was the first ever Ring of Honor match to ever happen in the state of Maine. and then I did a couple like Future of Honor shots in like January and March as well, which were hosted by the Monster Factory in New Jersey.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was almost like right after that you started to do Evolve. And I know that was
I remember you did one, your name was on one, I think, in December, but I remember you becoming more regular towards the spring of 2019. How did that come together?
So that, this is another long, like, I started back in 2015 and it did, like, I did my first camp for them in 2015 in, like, October. And he basically told me, like, you're just a tall guy. You're in okay shape. You need to give me more. And in reality, he's right. They had Timothy Thatcher, Drew Gulak, Matt Riddle, just to name a couple guys, a hot sauce Tracy Williams, a bunch of tall, in better shape white guys. Like, why did they need me at that point? So then I started, like, trickling different ideas. I tried, like, a millennium thing. I grew my hair out so I wouldn't look the same as everybody else. Did more fun wrestling style stuff instead of just being like a straight up wrestler. That really wasn't doing much for me either. So then it was like end of 2017, I decided to switch up the character and be the retro age that you see today with the mustache and all. And I sent him an email the day like that I posted on my social media stuff with the new username and all that stuff. And he said, I like this. I am more likely, oh, this is Gabe, by the way, I emailed Gabe.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm more likely to book this character than what you were doing before. Keep it up once you have some footage, send it my way. I would email back and forth, send him stuff here and there. And finally, I think it was like November 2018, I sent him an email asking if there were any spots for the New York double shot in December. And he said there was nothing. And then I saw that there was a tryout that same weekend and someone was going to be chosen to work the show. So, you know, I was like, what do I have to lose? And I went the first day to Queens and just helped set up, did all the ring crew stuff, whatever he needed. And the next day showed up bright and early to Long Island and did the tryout. I was the one chosen to do the four-way. It was myself, Bishop King, Colby Carino, which was his debut, and Kurt Stallion as well, which that was his debut weekend as well. Just did that four-way, and nothing really came of it. He told me I did fine. We emailed a little bit in January and February, and then it was March 16th. He sent me an email at 3 a.m., and I didn't see it till like 6 or 7 a.m., and he said, if you can get to this meeting point by 7, then I have a spot for you on the show. Mind you, I was booked to wrestle in like Rochester, New York that day.
Yeah.
So like I had to like decide quickly, all right, am I going to cancel on them? I decided to, made it there. I actually beat Gabe and his ride to the meeting point, drove there with them. And then that was the night that some say I grabbed the brass balloon at La Boom. And from there, I got to the back thinking that he was going to hate it, by the way, because Evolve has always been known for like their wrestling. And this was such an outside the box thing. I didn't know if he'd, you know, take it as too hokey or too corny. But I got to the back and he was like, that's that WWE-ish we want to see, like,
yeah,
using your brain, doing something like that. Like, that was awesome, thinking outside the box. And I was just like, whoa, what's going on? He's like, good stuff, man, good stuff. You look great. You're doing everything right. You did the camps. You listened to my advice. You're doing it right. Da-da-da-da-da. And then that happened on Saturday. So that Sunday night, he just texted me, I'm all in on Anthony Green, and I wasn't sure what that meant. That Monday, he asked me if I was available for a show and then told me later that he didn't have the spot available. And then the next day, he asked me if I was good for that Friday WWE Super Show, said it'll be a very good opportunity. I told him yes. And then maybe an hour later, he said, do you have interest in signing with Evolve Wrestling?
That's awesome.
Then that was late March. I did the match early April, and then technically May 1st was my first day under the Evolve WWE brand.
And obviously they had more so of a connection with WWE now, which we'll get into, but they already did. And you, over the last year or so, have worked like Tyler Breeze, I know Mansoor, Babatunde, even Bugenhagen. And of course, their presence has been more pronounced on Evolve shows of late, but that had to make you feel good that WWE also felt comfortable with you in there with their guys because they do keep an eye on who's wrestling who on these shows.
Yeah. So funny enough, my first weekend official with them was in May. And in my second weekend, that's when I wrestled Tyler Breeze. So that made me feel awesome. Like, yeah. 2 months in, I'm already working like WWE NXT guys. Like, this is unheard of. Most guys are usually there for at least 6 months to a year before they're getting in there with anybody like that. And I think it had a lot to do with my training and Gabe and them trusting me that I wasn't going to break Tyler Breeze's neck and knew that my character work would match with his pretty well. So I think that was important. Mansoor knew I was wrestling Mansoor before I even knew I was wrestling him. So I don't know if he asked or if, because him and I became pretty cool in January. I don't know if he asked to work me or if Gabe gave him like a list of guys or if Gabe just asked if he was cool with it or whatever the case was. But I wrestled him like 3 days after he worked Ziggler in Saudi. So that was another thing. Like, all right, they're trusting you with this guy that they clearly have a lot invested in. He's doing these huge pay-per-views in Saudi Arabia, wrestling Cesaro and wrestling Ziggler. So clearly they trust me in there with them, which is, it's always a good feeling. And then,
hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I know for a fact that they threw me in the ring with a guy like Rick Boogs because he didn't have like the indie experience. Sure. And they knew someone like me and someone like Joe Gacy, those are the guys he worked that weekend, that we would give him that wrestling experience that he's not going to get just training at the Performance Center, obviously.
So as I had mentioned, Evolve officially bought by WWE, that's major. What do you think that means for your future, for you in wrestling? Because, I mean, obviously, Evolve hasn't been running shows because of what's going on, but what does that mean for you, or what do you think it might mean for you?
So, like I said before, the biggest thing coming out of this COVID is I decided I just wanted to get in the best possible shape I can, because I don't know what my next opportunity is going to be, whether it's just a big indie show, whether Evolve comes back under like a WWE brand or whatever the case may be. I truly don't know. What I do think is cool, though, is I'm guessing there's rumors that WWE is going to add like an independent wrestling tier. You're going to see the ICWs, the Progress, the WXWs, and you're going to see Evolve on the WWE Network. So I was there for the good part of a year. So if anything, you're going to see a bunch of Anthony Green footage on there, which I think is pretty cool looking back. Because as of right now, you get one thing of me, and it's from the Evolve special.
Yeah.
From July last year, which I was actually the first ever indie match to ever stream live on the WWE Network, which is nice. A pretty rad accomplishment. And no one else has that under their belt except me. So
And as we film this, it's like the dominoes have started to fall. Like, we hear that Leon Ruff has reportedly signed. I don't think that he's went on the record about that, so I don't want to speak for him or anything. But that is a guy from Evolve, and personally, what I had heard was that they have their eye on more people, and of course they do, because they're buying this company. While the library is very nice to have, obviously there's some value in the people there because the people are what made that library. How does that make you feel hearing that, or at least the word is that other people from Evolve are getting signed up?
I think that's great for the industry overall, because if it's me, if it's not me, that's just going to be another spot opening up. If they grab a guy like Fox, or if they end up grabbing a guy like Eddie Kingston, those are some guys that are really high up on the independent like tier in the food chain. So if they're gone, that gives me a spot. Or if this person's gone, everyone's just going to move up in the world. It's always been a revolving door in professional wrestling, where when one guy gets grabbed by the claw machine, like in Toy Story, when they go up and beyond, there's going to be another toy that gets thrown into the fold. For me, I don't know. It's just, I see Leon Ruff, and I think there's a lot of reasons why he was hired, whether it's hard work, location. He's nailed every single performance he's done there. He's made every single guy in there look good. Even if it's a matter of Evolve guys getting flown down to the Performance Center to do enhancement matches like him just to get a look, I think it's only good for us to get that kind of exposure now. So if nothing comes of it, and we're all just back on the independent wrestling scene, maybe another major company will be interested based on what they saw on me there, you know?
Yeah. Earlier, we talked about Gangrel and people that could have a PCO run. In kind of looking through and researching in this, I see a name that could possibly fit that mold as well, if he so wanted to. And you've worked him multiple times. Little Guido.
Oh, man.
And here's the thing. I think a lot of people don't understand what an actual badass he is. Like, they don't understand that 95% of people on the street, he gets into it with them. He's messing them up. He's messing them up real bad. Like, he's legit. And he still wrestles here and there, not nearly as much. But explain to me, because I know you worked him in at least twice.
Yeah. So I've wrestled him in a tag match. I've wrestled him in a six-man tag at House of Hardcore, and I got to work him in one singles match for Lucky Pro Wrestling. And, like, the Sicilian Shooter is no joke. Trained by Billy Robinson, so he can go to UWFI in Japan.
Yeah.
He is as legit as they come to this day. Surprises me that he was not part of the Cruiserweight Classic. I know he's not that high-flying moonsault 450 guy, but I think he would have delivered something a little bit different. Like, just imagine him and Zack Sabre Jr. going at it. And I think that would have been absolutely insane. If he wants another run, he could have it. I've used him on one of my shows. He was actually booked on one of the shows that got canceled of mine. I think he's just happy living his life in New Jersey, working his regular job. I think he's happy making his extra, you know, few bucks on the indies here and there. But even when he's at the shows, he's just hanging out. He's one of the boys. He's not like a name in the sense where he feels like he's above everybody else. He's cool to everyone. Remembers most wrestlers by name too on the indies. He's just one of the guys. And if he wanted to run, even if it was a Ring of Honor or Impact or whatever the case may be, I feel like he has something to offer based on all of his experience and the fact that he could still outwork, I would say, 90% of any roster.
I had the good fortune before Billy Robinson passed of doing a seminar with him and Billy Scott, and they both spoke very highly of him. And that run, I think, is something a lot of people don't even realize, the UWFI run that he had, and because so many people identify him with ECW and WWE, and that's a part of his talent, is that he adapts to everything. He can do everything. I'd love to see him face like Thatcher or somebody like that, just to watch him roll around a little bit. One of my favorite Anthony Green related type moments is when a screenshot of you in the virtual basement game kind of emerged. And
yeah,
there, I mean, people who were familiar with you were like, that's badass. That looks like him. And other people were like, man, they're going full on with like customization and all this stuff. Like, that's awesome. And then like people were like, oh, that's him. And it looks just like him. There's no face scans. There's nothing like that. It's completely like done by hand. It's got the jacket. It's got the fanny pack. It's got the sunglasses. It's got the headband. It's even got the hair. Please explain to me like how this came together for you.
So he randomly, his name's Ashton, a real cool guy, Virtual Basement, check it out on Twitter. He messaged me out of the blue and I was just like, who is this guy? Why does he have this blue check mark on his Twitter account? And we just got back and forth talking. I don't think I'm better than anybody to not respond to someone on Twitter, unless you're like a real jerk. So I'm just back and forth and with him, and he's telling me he saw me wrestle at Chaotic and he was a big fan of mine, and he's reached out to these other people. He wants to produce this wrestling video game. I told him it was cool. We ended up in a text group at one point. It was me, him, and Enzo Amore, which I was like, Enzo's on board. So this must be pretty legit.
He's actively recruiting people. Like he went overseas and was like, the people on the tour were like, yeah, Enzo talked me into signing up for this game.
So finally, I'm like, all right, like, let's meet up, man. You live in New Hampshire. It's only it's a state over. It was like an hour and a half drive for me, and I was already like around the area. So it was like a 30-minute drive that I just had to drive home. And I met his wife. I met his kid. Like, he's a super cool guy. He showed me his office. He showed me his whiteboard with all the plans. And he said, listen, I'm not trying to make money off this game. This is a passion project for me. I've always loved professional wrestling. I basically got into making video games, like video game software, because I want to make a wrestling game and I wanted to build a name for myself, which he did with a game called The Mean Greens, I believe. It's basically like, I would compare it to Halo, but you're a little green army man.
Oh,
like,
yeah. So, as we film this, I think they're releasing it August 4th, which this interview may come out after that, well after that, but I'm pumped for that game. I straight up told them, like, hey, give me information. Give me. I was asking him, give me a code for the game, please. Like, I want to play this game.
So he asked me if I was interested. I looked through the agreement and everything, and it doesn't stop me from doing anything else in my life or in wrestling or character wise. So he was so passionate about it that I'm so passionate about professional wrestling. I felt for him, so I was all in on the idea. And he's continuing to reach out to new people. I'm seeing all like the sculpts he's making. He had this awesome song made for me that I don't think's been heard at all yet, other than from him and I, and maybe some other people he sent it to. And I just thought it was very cool. And another thing, I was the first person actually to be announced for it, which is a pretty good feeling, especially when you have, you know, Enzo Amore and you have Matt Sydal and whomever else is announced for it, that I was like the first guy he chose to put out there.
I thought that was a good move because, I mean, you're a colorful personality, and no disrespect to anybody that just goes out there and wears black tights, trunks, and all that stuff, but
yeah,
showing you showed a wide array. It was a visual appeal type of thing. Like, there was a lot of familiarity and a lot of like, okay, this looks cool. This character looks cool. Let's see what this is about. And they've just unraveled an insane roster of late. What other type of, I don't know if it's input, so to speak, but what type of feedback do you provide them, or do you have to send them images, anything like that?
So I sent him photos of my boots, all size, front, back, sideways, top, bottom, everything they wanted. Same thing with my gear, my jacket, my logo. I had to do head scans, forward, sideways. By head scans, I mean, took a
picture,
photo. Yeah. So, and then like did it with hair up and hair down. Cool. So they could get like what my shape is, which like is round. I was told I have a very nicely shaped head, and, like, good jawline.
That's a great compliment to have.
So, did all that, and then I just sent him some promo photos to get like physique and my golden tan and how I like to be presented. Other than that, that was really it. Yeah, that was really it for that stuff. When it comes to like input, he asked me like a few ideas for like the names of the game, or like he had the list on the whiteboard, like 4-sided ring, 6-sided ring, maybe an 8-sided cage to make it, you know, like real unique and be able to do like an MMA style thing. And it was very, it reminded me a lot of like Fire Pro in the sense where he wants you to be able to build your own ring however you want. That's so if you want a 4-sided ring with like the New Japan style long pads, and you want your apron to be this color, but you want this to be that color, you can enter in your own logos. And his idea is to make the game like DLC based, where there will only be one game ever produced, and he's just going to continually make the game evolve, no pun intended. But yeah, always add stuff in to make it more unique and make it like no other wrestling video game.
I think that's the way to go. I mean, WWE is not putting out a game this year because their last effort fell short. UFC, 2.5 years between games because they go so DLC heavy. I think even Madden, or NBA 2K, stuff like that, they could just do roster updates and the like. And I know that even the character, like the character list, is going to be largely based on your own drawing power because you get paid based on how often you're downloaded. Leon St. Giovanni told me a funny story about how he got his model sent to him, and he said the creator sent him a nude model of himself, and he was like, "How did you get my ass right? Did you get a nude model of yourself?"
I did not. I was fully geared up when I got mine.
I was like, I hope he's not doing this for everybody. I hope this was like a one-time thing.
I actually think, oddly enough, I think he sent me a nude one of somebody else.
Probably LSG.
It was not LSG.
Oh my God.
It was like action figure nude though.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Of course.
Ken doll style.
Oh, amazing. That is amazing. So a couple more questions. We mentioned like how your deal with Evolve came together. You've done stuff for Ring of Honor, House of Hardcore. Have there been any other feelers from any other companies like the MLWs, the NWAs, et cetera, like that? I mean, you've been under contract, so it wouldn't do much good then either. And I know that your profile significantly raised over the last year. But any conversations with places like that?
No, not really. When I was like really starting to try to get out there in like 2018, I would send out like my own emails. I made like a cool highlight video that I sent to MLW, sent to Impact Wrestling, both to no avail. I made in like 2017, when the NWA thing was first starting to come about, in like summer 2017, I paid to have this promo made where I put the NWA logo in the corner of it. And it wasn't even like something I produced to put out there. I strictly sent it to Dave Lagana only. And again, to no avail, no response to any of that stuff. Yeah, that was really it. I tried with Ring of Honor, and they basically told me at that point there was no bandwidth to hire anybody else. And then the Evolve opportunity came about, and I wasn't going to say no to an opportunity like that. The thing with all those places are, like, Ring of Honor, I'm sure, like, I would be able to make serious big money. Mm-hmm. You know, Impact has the possibility. I'm not really too familiar with MLW and stuff. But Evolve has always been honest with me. They paid me what they promised me every time, because I know they get a lot of flack for, like, their lack of pay. But they paid me what we agreed, and I was happy taking the amount. And the promise was never they were going to make me rich. The promise was they were going to give me the opportunity to make me rich, in the sense that I am now being looked at by higher ups in World Wrestling Entertainment. And I'm going to be able to wrestle the Tyler Breezes and the Mansoors and work with the PC guys and have a match on the WWE Network where I'm not even under contract with the company. So I look at all that stuff, and that to me in that moment meant more, especially because I was only 25 years old when I was signing, that I knew I have 5, 7, 8 years before I'm even really in my prime. Like 30, 32, everyone's getting hired at 30 in their 30s now, because that's the new prime. Everyone needs to say, if you're older than 32, that's the cutoff. That's total BS now. Like, you could be 35 and have the run of your lifetime. PCO is 50 yeah. plus years old making a decent living at professional wrestling. And I'm using decent very like lightly. He's making yeah. a great living and only having to wrestle for
Damian what? Priest got signed at like 36 and he's the hottest he's ever been now. I mean, like he's it's pretty outstanding the way that works. Has yeah. this led, I know it's led to extra work for a lot of other Evolved peoples. Has this led to any of that for you? And if so, how's that experience been?
So I've never done extra work since working for Evolve, but I've done extra work in the past, like three times or like
oh, okay.
6 times total for the weekends. I've only got to wrestle one time. And that was the last time I did it in July, 2018. I got to have 2 matches because there was an odd number of people. But fun thing, every time almost every time I've done television, it's been with someone either signed or that's been signed. Like, first time I did TV was with Dominic Dijakovic and Biff Busick, Oney Lorcan.
Nice.
The second time I did it, I was with 3.0, now known as yeah. Ever Rise. And the last time I did TV, Colin Delaney was there.
Nice.
Who is former signed, obviously.
Nice. So, I mean, again, you've been all over the place, especially beyond Evolve. How have you seen the independent scene grow and change? Because I remember last year, beginning of 2019, the big thing was who's going to step up? Because AEW came in and signed 40 people off the indies.
Yeah.
We've seen guys like yourself emerge and really increase their profile. People like Danhausen and Warhorse and AJ Gray and a lot of these people are really stepping up. How have you seen things change?
I feel like in 2017, 2018, a lot of it was your work rate. Like, how good are you in the ring? And I feel 2019 and now 2020, especially because we haven't been wrestling for 4 months, the characters are the ones that have become the most popular. You saw MJF really break out, and it was based on his heel character work. Danhausen went from 3,000 followers on Twitter to 17 or 20,000, whatever he's at now, and getting spots in Ring of Honor because of his character work. Warhorse is a great example of a guy that his character and his promos got him from, again, 2,000 followers to like 15,000 followers in like 1 year's time. And he just wrestled on national television, not under a contract. And then you see the Effies of the world are getting out there, the Alley Cats of the world.
Oh, yeah.
I think that has its place. And I think the characters in wrestling they all have a spot. And I think they're getting like primarily booked. And then you have like the wrestlers that are like really starting to step up and get out there. One name in particular, Lee Moriarty, who I'm not sure if you're familiar with him.
Not.
But get familiar with him. He's from Pittsburgh area. He does AIW is like his home. He is incredible in the ring. Like, so smooth. He's that catch-as-catch-can style. He reminds me a lot of Jonathan Gresham in the ring. Unique look. He comes out with a mask on, and he has headphones that he listens to. And then he doesn't wrestle in the mask. I've heard good things, and I've seen things here and there, but I watched him versus Wheeler Yuta from this past weekend.
Oh, okay.
And that was the match of the show, by far, match of the night. It was just killer. He's getting out there more. And then I think guys that are finally getting their due, guys like Joe Gacy, who's finally really getting out there, I think he's highly underrated. Kurt Stallion's another guy that I think is incredible in the ring. And he's an odd guy, but I love him to death. He's so good in the ring. He's had some of my favorite matches. Those are just a few people. And there's a lot of guys locally, if you don't mind. I'm going to
give
a little plug ski to the New England area.
And actually, now that you mention Lee Moriarty, I realize that's the guy who faced Tony Deppen on
yes.
the Homecoming show. Yeah.
Locally, like this New England area, we're we're killing it, in my opinion. I think if you want to be a professional wrestler, New England is the best place to get trained at the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. There's also the Kingdom Wrestling School run by Matt Taven. Yeah, we have two of the best schools, in my opinion, in the entire United States of America. And then I think our wrestling is bar none. We have Beyond Wrestling, Limitless Wrestling, Chaotic Wrestling, all in the New England area. Then there are other small promotions that are really getting out there. I was running local shows before COVID that I thought was doing pretty cool stuff. Hopefully to come back after everything is kind of situated. Waves and Curls is a brand new tag team trained by the Kingdom. I think they have a lot of upside. Love Doug, also from the Kingdom. And then from the New England Pro Wrestling Academy, CJ Cruz, who has been doing stuff with Beyond and Limitless. Charlie Cashew, silly name, but he's really good in the ring. Ricky Archer, Paris Van Dale, Basic Becca, Armani Chaos, Ava Everett. I have to shout out the girl, obviously. All of them have so much upside. Alec Price is another one. And a lot of these people are just finally getting their chance to like show up, and they're all being showcased highly on the new Limitless Wrestling series, The Road, which airs every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern on IWTV. So you can watch that for an hour, then you can go watch either AEW or NXT, and it doesn't get in the way of anything.
I've actually seen a little bit of Basic Becca and really liked that, and I actually saw that she was the subject of The Road, which you were too. So definitely encourage people to check that out. Encourage people to check out your Pro Wrestling Tee store too. One of my favorite wrestling t-shirt designs is the Beavis and Butthead inspired retro AG shirt. That shirt is so awesome. I love that thing. And the reboot's coming. Beavis and Butthead reboot is coming.
That's what we need.
That's what we need to save this world. But guys, check it out. But let the people know where they can follow you. Let the people know where they can find you.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RetroAG _. My pro wrestling tees is prowrestlingtees.com/RetroAG. And I also have a Facebook fan page. If you look up Anthony Green, it should pop right up. And you'll be able to follow my wrestling career, see what I'm talking about, see what I'm watching on IWTV, and then you'll be able to find out when this interview comes out, even though you have way more followers than I do. So they'll probably find out from you before they find out from me.
Hey, I mean, you know, it happens. It happens. But check out those shirt designs, guys. There's some great ones up there. I love retro stuff. This office is about to be turned into like a 90s room, for the love of God. So definitely check those out. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time. I didn't expect this to go 50 minutes, but honestly, I could probably make it go 3 hours with the level of stuff we have to talk about here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course, man. We could have talked about my wrestling action figures or my DVD collection.
Hey, I got a nice one right over here. We need to trade stories sometimes about wrestling DVDs. I've got like hundreds right over here.
But yeah, no, thank you so much. I'm glad we were able to make this happen.
Yeah, until next time, guys, we're out.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.